Visiting a 92-year-old grandmother who's waiting to go home. I enjoyed her, me and my wife, and to see the tranquility in her face was worth going to visit. Can you imagine your day on this earth is basically coming to an end, and the person is looking forward to what's going to come. And she told me, yes, I get quite a few visitors. They don't really have to come that much because I enjoy myself being alone. Being alone with God, reading the Bible. You know, if there's something that a person should covet, this is that. She had a humble little house. It wasn't the worst and it wasn't the best. She doesn't have millions of dollars. Actually, throughout her life, her husband gave most of their money away, buying tracts and giving it out to people. But she made it. She has come to the end. And the joy and the peace is evident. She had a tough life. There's a lot of bumps in the road in her life. I'm very familiar with it. But to be able to sit and talk with somebody that has peace. And the peace is so genuine that you feel it. She doesn't have to brag about it or talk about it. You know it's there. Let me tell you, that's worth living for, and that's worth living towards. All this worldly stuff that people are into, yes, you need it. Yes, there's a lot of things we need and have to have, but the end, you better have what she has, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, I saw her in my mind leaving this world. I just come from a funeral from a lady who had loved the Lord with all her heart, and she had passed away. I know she's in heaven, but this lady is just going to pass from this room and take a step into another room where she'll be face to face with her Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way to be. That's what to fight for. That's what to look for. That's what to aim for, because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. When you watch what's going on, the world scene, confusion, unbelievable satanic stuff going on. I listened to Safati. They had a big end time meeting in Toronto, Ontario. They had people come from all over the world flying in to hear this conference. And after Safati finished speaking, this poor guy got up and started screaming that there was no such a thing as a rapture. Now, why would he start screaming that unless he's riled? Something in him is riled up. And I know what it is. I've seen it a few times in my life. Something in him is riled up. There is no rapture. We don't want Jesus to come back. Why don't they want Jesus to come back? They hope that somehow they will prove themselves with the Antichrist. They cannot stand the imminent return, where in a split second you'll be changed. They can't stand the thought, because they know they're not quite ready. And the reason you're not quite ready is because they don't understand Christianity. If you're not ready at all times, then you do not know who this Jesus is, or you don't understand salvation. And this is what I want to teach on today. There's some interesting, when you go out and about with people, there's some interesting ideas on what salvation is. By the way, the funeral was so big, my first thought was, when I heard that Helen died, where on earth will they find in Minto a house big enough or a church big enough to have her funeral? And they packed out the town hall. There was about 350 people there, so it was full. She had a lot of friends, and I think a lot of people didn't come because there was no room. So interesting how a person of no significance in this life, anyways, as far as her status is concerned, at the end, so many people come, because she touched their lives all over. She touched their lives. Many, many people had so much good to talk about her. But she lived for the Lord. She wanted people to know about Jesus. So before we get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. I ask you, Lord, that you will open our hearts to the truth of Scripture. Lord God, your word does not change, and I'm so thankful that we can avoid all the confusion that's out there by simply focusing on the written word that you have left us. I thank you for your grace. You will bless us, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of people in the churches today, and that's the strange thing. You go on YouTube, you listen to different preachers, and their attitudes and their ideas are so twisted that if you take a little time to listen to them, you wonder, where on earth did you get your theology? It's not from the Word of God. How can it be? And the biggest problem is many, many call themselves Christians, but there is no personal transformation. You talk to any Catholic, are you a Christian? Yes, I got confirmed. I'm going to heaven. You talk to a Baptist, yep, I got baptized, so I'm going to heaven. Unbelievable. You talk to a Pentecostal, I speak in tongues, so therefore I go to heaven. Well, I got news for you. Going to heaven is a ticket that only God gives. You do not earn it. You do not try to be a goody, goody, goody to attain it. It has to be given to you. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. That is what the Bible teaches us. And God grants it to us when we turn to Him for that salvation. And there's those people out there, oh, yeah, we're Christian. You talk to the average person on the street, they're all Christians. I remember once asking a person in the bank, one of the tellers, are you a Christian? Oh, yes. And I said, are you born again? And she said, no, I was born once. So you understand, they don't know where they are. And then, you know, they're being told, yes, you were brought up in a Christian family. That's why you're a Christian. Or you're confirmed into this church. That's why you're a Christian. For those of you who don't understand that, go and Google it. You might get the answer already. Google is pretty smart already. In Romans chapter 6 in verse 1 and 2, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Interesting how some people think there's no transformation. And some think, like, God saved us and don't even worry about their lifestyle. Your lifestyle should tell you something whether you changed or not. The Bible teaches we are dead to sin. What does that mean? That we're not going to sin anymore? That's what most people think this is. This is why they can't stand the Apostle Paul. I've heard people say, we don't trust the Apostle Paul. I've heard them on YouTube. Oh, the Apostle Paul didn't have the revelations we have now. I'll come to that later on in this message. But we are dead to sin. What does that mean? Sin has absolutely no power over us anymore. It cannot condemn us. It cannot destroy us. I'm talking about your salvation because we're dead to it. God took the price. Jesus took, He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So death, sin, has no more power over us. We're a new creation. So why should we live there? And in other words, why live for sin if you're not even in any way associated to it anymore? So that's the argument of the Apostle Paul here. Study these scriptures and you'll see what I'm telling you is true. In Romans chapter 6, going to Romans chapter 7, he says, it's not me that sins, but sin that lives in me. So, do you have a personal transformation? I do not care how good you act. I do not care how holy you act in front of people. Living a holy life will not bring you to Christ. Count on that. But living in Christ will lead you to a holy life. There's a difference. How many people try to live a holy life? And all it is religion. Being very, very super religious. That's what they call holiness. Holiness is perfection. One mistake and you're disqualified. So can you become holy in your own self? I should say not. It has to be imparted into you. And hallelujah, it was. We'll get into that today. Yet it's unbelievable how God opens your eyes if you study scriptures. The problem is with many people, they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't read the fine print. Yes, you may have salvation, but do you know the heart of Jesus where you can have joy and peace right here on this earth? You can have a peace that passes all understanding. That happens when you start reading the fine print, what I call reading the fine print. What do I mean by that? By paying attention to what you're studying. What does it say? What does it mean? God is good. He'll open your eyes. He wants to reveal these things. The second one is the social gospel. Number two, social gospel. Let's all be friends. Let's all treat each other good. Let's help one another. And this guy is a Christian. I heard one fellow tell me, if this guy is not a Christian, then nobody is. Well, I asked him, what are his credentials? Well, he did this, this, and this, and this, and he helped so many people. I said, no, that's not what qualifies him as a Christian. The guy is a good dude. He likes to help out. But that's not Christianity. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, listen to here, here's the crunch. Verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love or Jesus. They should have Jesus there. That's what it all points to. It profits me nothing. If you have no love, what is love? A human being without Jesus, the only love he possesses is selfish love. Me, I and myself and my kids and my family. That's all, basically. And when a human heart is incapable of love. If you study the Bible teaches us we are all an unclean thing. We have all gone out of the way. There is none good, no, not one. So how can on earth can we possess this love unless we have Jesus? And that love that we then have has been imparted into us. It wasn't conjured up by our nice nature that we possess. So God has to give it to us. So if I give everything away, it profits me nothing. I give millions of dollars to the poor, it profits me nothing. If I help everybody on this planet, it profits me nothing if I have not Jesus. So, social gospel, you better look at yourself in the mirror because you will be found wanting. And then I got this interesting one which lately has popped up. The gospel of sexuality. Anybody who knows what's going on today will realize what I'm saying is true. Transgenderism. They're basically worshiping. There's such a move out today that the people have completely forgotten how to blush. The Democrats passed the law, 100%, everybody voted for it. Transgender, what is this? All are equal. We're I can say what I can now be a woman, and tomorrow I can declare myself a man again. Interesting. There's this guy in Florida, this coach. He was supposed to watch over those young kids who were having a shower, boys only. But there was one girl in there who believes in here. She's a boy. And the teacher said, I'm not going in to supervise because it's a girl that's in there. And he got fired. Interesting how warped people can be. The women that are into sports, I don't know how they'll do it if they come up against this 350-pound front guard in a football game. Let them try to be transgender there. The men, they're trying their best to have babies. They do all sorts of scientific experiments to try to have a baby. When you study this on YouTube or you watch it on TV, you wonder where on earth their brain is. Homosexuality. Oh, I was born with that. I'm sure you were. And I know exactly what you have. Here is how it works. A homosexual wasn't born a homosexual. He somehow picked up a homosexual spirit. And that spirit wants his gratification to be had through the person who is the homosexual. That's how a demon gets gratified. When there's a demon of glutton, where does he go? Into a person that likes to eat. When there's a demon of drunkenness, where does he go? He doesn't go into a guy who doesn't drink. He goes into a drunk. That's how it works all over the place. Homosexuality, I was watching these people on TV, and these so-called Christians were arguing about whether homosexuality was right or wrong. And the guy there was quoting the Apostle Paul. Oh, the Apostle Paul, don't have the revelations we have now. God has opened our mind. He has enlightened us. We now see much clearer than the Apostle Paul did. What a fool they are. The Apostle Paul didn't write these things because he was so smart. He didn't write these things because he knew all these things. He wrote them because God put them into his mind and told him, write it down. Sometimes when I study these things that he wrote, I'm a little suspicious. He himself didn't quite understand, but that's to be debated, and that's maybe something that we'll argue in heaven yet. And he just wrote it down the way God gave it to him, and that's it. It wasn't his wisdom. It wasn't his smarts. He wrote down the law of God. Listen to this one. Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. Where God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. It doesn't say the lusts of their flesh. He gave them up to the lusts of their hearts. It's the hearts that have gone astray before the flesh follows. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. They're worshiping one another. That's what they're doing. For this cause, God gave them up to what? Vile affections. That's homosexuality. Vile affections, bestiality. All sorts of different stuff is popping up on YouTube. That if you want an education in whatever, you can get it on YouTube. And it's the vile affection that they now have. For even their women, they change the natural use into that which is against nature. For their women, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one towards another. Man and man working together, which is unseemly. What is the Apostle Paul saying here? this stuff that you're into, it's an abomination to God. Can a homosexual be a Christian? Of course he can. And God will accept them. But if they want to declare to me that homosexuality isn't a sin, then I will question their Christianity. Because that's where the line is drawn. Yes, a drunk does every now and then who becomes a Christian fall back. Homosexuality, that spirit will hound you. I know how it works already. If you've been fighting a demon in your life before you became a Christian, it's pretty obvious that you're going to fight him after you become a Christian. The Apostle Paul said, Lord, take this demon away from me. And Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient. Keep you a little humble there, Mr. Paul. You've seen too much. And you need to be kept down to this earth. And I'm a little afraid that's what he's telling us. My grace is sufficient. You'll fight it through. The work that I started in you, I will perform it and I'll finish it because I started from the end. And I know for a fact you'll turn out good. And one day, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll stand perfect before this Almighty God. That's what our hope is. Not all this so-called Christianity that the world is spewing out all over the place. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. I want you to do a little homework yourselves. Read Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7, and you will see what will be added unto you. All the things that are totally impossible to achieve by yourself, God will add them unto you. Either here or there, one of the two. It all depends what you allow. You are the one that God is working with. Now the question is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's his righteousness? His righteousness is perfection, totally holy, totally pure. Seek that, and then things will happen to you. How on earth do you find that? Do you live a holy, godly life, hoping to seek and find and striving towards it? Or do you go according to Scripture? What did God call Abraham? He was a righteous person. Why? Because he lived a godly, holy life? No. The Bible teaches us over and over and over again. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's what brings us righteousness. If I believe this Jesus took my sin upon himself, paid for it at the cross of Calvary, and he gave me his goodness, his righteousness, his holiness, then the Bible teaches us that we become a new creation. We then receive the righteousness of God. I am amazed at how Christianity misses that. We have received the righteousness of Christ through what he gave us. The Apostle Paul says over and over again that I may know him and his righteousness, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God. And the religious person doesn't want to see that. And many, many Christians are fighting that. Oh, du musst bespravieren. Oh, du nicht vetter himmelfoten, du nicht annehme. Has anybody ever tried his best? If you say yes, you're a liar. So that makes you a failure right there. Because you may try your best for 2 minutes, and then you forget, and you stumble and fall. And that's the problem with all the human race. We do not have the capability to live a righteous, holy life. Should we then just say, well, whatever happens, happens, I just live. No, it's produced from the inside out, because you will live a righteous life. Automatically, it'll become your nature. Once your nature has been changed by God. Now listen to Mr. King David. How many of you studied the life of King David? I did it over the last couple of weeks, and I'm saying, Lord, this guy is something else. I mean, he failed on every turn. And the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. What does that scripture really mean? That he was somebody special to God? That scripture means he was seeking after the heart of God. And we can do the same thing. We have the same ability to seek after the heart of God. And that's what King David did. Every time he was faced with a sin and his eyes and ears were open to it, he said, Lord, I failed. I need your forgiveness. And God said, you're forgiven, but you'll have to suffer the consequences. So you don't get off scot-free just because you find forgiveness. God still visits your iniquity. He allows things to happen. Listen to what he says in Psalm chapter 71 in verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of what? Of thy righteousness, even thine only. So what is David saying? I'm not going to talk about my own righteousness. I will talk about your righteousness, Lord. Yours only. And that's the way it's going to stay. So when you study that guy, you begin to see the secret that he had. He had a heart for God that understood God, and he also understood himself. So I will go, what is the strength of God? What is the strength of God in a person? When you look at the righteousness of God and not at your own. Because when you start looking at your own righteousness, you'll become depressed. You'll start saying, well, I need to do better tomorrow. And you'll wake up the next day and find out that you're even worse than yesterday. On and on it goes with people like that. Never able to reach the goal they're trying to attain. Because they don't do it according to Scripture. I reached my goal when it comes to righteousness. I've attained it years ago when I first became a Christian. I accepted the righteousness that God implanted into me. Did I expect to become a preacher? No, I didn't. Did I expect to be on radio and preach to I don't know how many people? No, I didn't. All I did was accept the righteousness that God gave me. And the work that he started at the end to the beginning is working out in me. And he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be perfect. And that's what he does with all of us. Hallelujah. We can say thank you, Jesus, because we can trust the one who's working this awesome miracle of perfecting us in Christ. And it will get done sooner or later. And let me tell you, what have we got to look forward to? Like that old 92-year-old grandma. I'm at peace. I don't need many visitors. I got a visitor always here with me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. And one day, she'll just take another step right into his presence where she will be with him forever. And that is the same direction we as Christians should all be going. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Teach me that I may be holy thine, sing redemption's song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true, ever firmly make my stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Hold my hand.